We're turning to John's Gospel, chapter 16. John's Gospel, chapter 16, for our Bible reading. You'll know the circumstances of the chapter. The Lord Jesus Christ is in the middle of his upper room discourse. He's speaking to his troubled disciples. We read of that in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." And so he's speaking, ministering to them, comforting their hearts, instructing them, and we're going to read part of what he had to say to them in John chapter 16 and the verse number 7. Let's hear God's word. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." We'll end our reading there, just at the end of the verse number 16. Let's unite in prayer with the word before us open. Our loving Father, we pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt be our teacher. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt instruct us and teach us from thy word even this day. We come, dear God, to submit to the teaching of the Scriptures. Oh, we pray for the great instructor to come and reveal the things of God to us this day. Come and fill me by thy Holy Spirit. Help me to preach the word. Help me to be instant in season and out of season, to rebuke, to reprove, to exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Lord, grant, dear Father, these days that there might be an appetite for the word. Give to us, O God, an increased interest in spiritual things. Lord, help us to look to ourselves today. O God, let every man judge themselves. And grant, O God, our hearts to be brought to that position where, dear God, we gladly say, "Not my will, but thine be done." So minister, help me, fill me, I pray. I ask these my prayers in through Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. As today we continue to look at the role and the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the lives of God's people, we come to consider in this service the Holy Spirit as the believer's teacher and guide. Now, it would be true to say that by nature we are all ignorant of spiritual truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 reminds us that the natural man, that man out of Christ, the sinner, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Because of our sin, our eyes, our spiritual eyes, are blinded. We know not God, we know not Christ, we certainly don't know ourselves, or the world, or sin as we ought to. You see, we see everything because of our sin under false pretenses and under false colors. However, when the Spirit of God regenerates the heart of any sinner, things radically change. Because it is the Spirit of God's work to open the mind and to open the eyes of the understanding. He comes to illuminate the heart and the mind, calling us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. He lifts and He removes the veil. He shines into our hearts and He makes us see things as they really are and as God sees things. But even whenever we do come to a knowledge of God and the gospel, there is still a need for us to be taught and to be guided by the Holy Spirit. We're all pupils needing to be taught of the Lord. Now the Christian can be guided or be taught in their lives by three or one of three spirits. Can I say they can be led and guided by their own spirit? They can be led and guided by their own spirit. The problem with that is, the problem with self-guidance, as a fallen creature, there is the real possibility of self-destruction by the one who allows their own spirit to guide them and to lead them in their lives. Because within us, there are the old remnants of the old nature. And the old nature always has a biasness towards sin and unrighteousness and the world. And the problem is that if we allow ourselves to be simply led by our own spirits, we're going to find ourselves being led astray and most certainly led away from God and from His truth and from His righteousness. The second spirit by which a person can be led by is by the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world. What is the spirit of the world? Well, the spirit of the world is that all-pervading and controlling power of the spirit of darkness. What is the spirit of the world? It is a spirit of selfishness. The spirit of the world is a spirit of sensuality, of falsehood, of hypocrisy, of worldliness, of cruelty and of greed. It is certainly not the spirit that the child of God is to be led by, the spirit of this world. For the spirit of this world is anti-God and anti-Christ and anti-truth and anti-Bible. The Christian is not to be led by the spirit of this world. They're not to be led by their own spirit, but they're to be led by the Spirit of God. If you turn to Psalm 143 and the verse number 10, we find the psalmist David crying to God, and he's praying to God that God would help him or teach him. Psalm 143 and the verse number 10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of unrighteousness. Here he's asking God to teach him and for the Spirit of God to lead him. And notice how thy Spirit, God's Spirit, is described. It is God, it is called His good Spirit. It is by the good Spirit of God that God leads and guides and teaches His children. Now David should have known well what it was to be led by his own spirit. We find that great event there when he's standing on the top of the housetop, gazes down and sees Bathsheba. By his own lustful spirit, he arranges and he convenes and he accomplishes his own sinful desires and passions. That was the spirit of the world. Just allow the reins of sin and morality to be cast aside. And so we find David in his own life experiencing times when he was led by the spirit of the world and by the spirit, his own spirit, and he found himself to be brought to a place of great compromise and a place of great sin within his life. And so this is why we find the psalmist now crying to God in Psalm 143 that he might be led by God's good spirit. Because he understood what it was to be led by these other spirits. Now, no Christian, and I don't care how long you're on the Christian road, I don't care how much of the Bible that you have committed to memory, Don't care how many theological books you have in your own private library or how far advanced you may think yourself to be in the Christian life. No Christian can say that they do not need the Holy Spirit's teaching and guiding ministry in their lives. Because without that ministry, we would inevitably make spiritual shipwreck of our lives on the rock of sin, on the rock of error, and on the rock of heresy. We'd make shipwreck without His leading and without His guiding. So today we want to consider then the Holy Spirit as our teacher and as our guide. Now the world in which we live, with all of its varying complexities and all of the varying relationships that we have with others within this world, it causes us to make choices almost now on an hourly basis. We all want to make the right choices in life, there's no doubt about that. The problem is that we sometimes can make the wrong choices. And those wrong choices, folks, brethren and sisters, those wrong choices can have long and lasting and serious consequences in our lives. How do we make the right choices in life? I believe we make the right choices when we know the teaching and the guiding ministry of God the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's what we want to consider. Can I say in the first place, the Scriptures affirm that the Holy Spirit is our teacher and guide. Want to establish that initially? Want to establish initially, do the Scriptures of truth affirm this to be so? That God leads and guides His people? That He is their teacher? That He brings us into His school? He makes us His pupils? Does the Scriptures affirm this to be so? I believe they do. Let me direct you to a number of portions in God's Word. The first is found in Nehemiah chapter number 9 and the verse number 19 and 20. Nehemiah chapter 9 and the verse number 19 and 20. God, Nehemiah, are the men of Israel here, the priests, they are rehearsing all that occurred in the life of Israel. We read about the molten calf there in the verse number 18. Yet, verse 19, thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yes, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire led them, but also thy good spirit to instruct them, to teach them, and to guide them. Isaiah 54, verse 13, it is a general statement concerning Jehovah Himself, but it says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. It is Jehovah's work to teach the children of God. We read there in John chapter 14 first, and then we'll go to chapter 16, John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Chapter 16, and this time the verse number 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Romans chapter 8 and the verse number 14. Romans chapter 8 and the verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Galatians 5 verse 18 says something similar. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And finally, 1 John 2 verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Speaking of the Holy Spirit teaching, leading, and guiding. We can then be in no doubt about it from these portions of God's Word, that it is the work of the Holy Spirit to guide, to lead, and to instruct His children in the way that they should go. It is then for us to seek and then to avail ourselves of that leading and that guiding within our lives. And if we go astray, it is not because there is any want with God. God has promised to guide His children. God has promised to lead His children. So then when we go astray, we're obviously being led by another spirit and not His good spirit. And so we find it affirmed in Scripture, this basic principle, God leading and God guiding His children. But in the second place, I want us to consider the reason why we need the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us. Why do we need Him to be our teacher and our guide? Well, we've already hinted at it already. The answer is very simple. The answer is very plain. If we were allowed of ourselves to be self-guided or to be self-taught, then we would soon go astray. We would soon find ourselves in bypath meadows. We would soon find ourselves in a backslidden state. We would soon find ourselves out of step with God. We certainly wouldn't be walking in agreement with God if we find ourselves to be self-led and to be self-taught. There is a complete inability on any man or woman's part to lead ourselves in the truth of God's word and God's way. We of ourselves, we are unable to discern even a step before us. And if we were, we would be incapable of taking that very step. And thus we need the guidance and the leading of God the Holy Spirit. Octavius Winslow, he said, "Oh, what unfoldings of ignorance, what exhibitions of weakness have marked some of the wisest and mightiest of God's saints when left to self-teaching and to self-guidance. Thus there is a strong and absolute necessity that wisdom and strength and grace, infinitely transcending our own, should go before us in our homeward journey." What ignorance, what weakness marks us as believers. We need to be led and we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And such guidance is promised to the child of God. That child of God who is wholly ignorant of the way ahead. In Isaiah chapter 42 verse 6 we read, "And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them." And maybe today you're here as a child of God and you would be one who would initially and freely hold up your hand and say, "Preacher, I can't discern the way ahead. Preacher, I'm incapable of knowing what direction to take at this very juncture in my life. Preacher, I'm clueless as to what God's will is for my life today. I'm at a loss to know what God would want me to do about this major decision that I'm about to take in my life." Well, such an acknowledgement only but evidences the necessity of the Spirit of God to be your teacher and your guide. And He will be. He will guide you and He will lead you when you ask for His ministry. Sad to say, too often we act and behave like the untamed horse when it comes to God's leading and guiding in our lives. Instead of going God's way, we want to go our own way. We pull against God and His will. We're reluctant to yield to what God is instructing us and guiding us in. We hear the preacher preach about something specifically, and there's a resistance. There's a pulling away from it. Oh, we don't like it within our lives. It's something that grates, as it were. It's a little bit like sandpaper upon the soul. Something that just doesn't meet up with my thinking about this particular matter. But is it in the book? Is it in the Word? Is a preacher preaching the Word? Your problem then is with the Word and with the one and the author of the Word. And so we're like that untamed horse pulling this direction and that direction. And does God not use that very image? Does he not use that very picture for us there in Psalm 32 in the verse number 9? That undomesticated animal, that untamed one, that untrained horse. He uses it to speak of the Christian being that unbridled one, the one who forgoes the guidance of God in their lives that will lead to danger and to peril. What does it say? Psalm 32 verse 9, be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near on to thee. What are we to do instead? Well, this is what we are to do. We're to look to God, because the previous verse tells us how we're to be guided, tells us how we're to be led. Because the previous verse, the verse number 8, Psalm 32, verse 8 says, I will instruct thee, and I will teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's how we're to be led. That's how we're to be guided, by the Lord. And we're to simply go His way and His direction, and not be like the untamed horse, going this way and that way, and making ourselves and causing peril and danger. We are to be yoked to Him. Are we not encouraged to do that? Matthew chapter 11, there the verse number 29, Christ, He's already said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then He goes on, having found rest in Christ, having been redeemed, having been saved, having known your sins forgiven and put under the blood of Jesus Christ, having found gospel rest in Him, what are we to do? Are we to live lives that are without any boundaries? Are we to cast aside all restraint and live as we believe ourselves to live? No, the Scripture tells us that we're to yoke ourselves to Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. To be yoked to Christ, that's what we're to be. And as He walks, so we'll walk. And where He goes, we'll go. And what He says, we'll do. And we'll just simply walk in fellowship with Him. Child of God, that's what you ought to desire within your life over the summer period. Don't be going into some sort of holiday mode spiritually. Oh, child of God, pray this summer will be a summer of reviving within your own soul. That this summer will be the summer that you'll start to walk with God again. For some of you aren't walking with God. Some of you aren't walking with God. Some of you are out of fellowship with God. Some of you are living in the world. Some of you are living too close to the world. Closer than you should be. And this summer needs to be a summer of rededication, a summer of reconsecration to God. Don't let it slip any further, child of God. Young man, stop the departure. Young woman, may God pull the reins. Come into His yoke. Oh, take the bridle and the bit. Ask God to lead and guide you. And He'll guide you in a good way. Way of holiness, the way of truth, the way of righteousness. And so we need His leading, because we are so weak and so prone to make mistakes. Preacher included. I've made mistakes. And oh, to say, Lord, lead me by Your Spirit, Thy good Spirit. And He'll bring you to blessing. There's no doubt about that. In the third instance, let's think about the medium through which the Holy Spirit teaches and guides His children. Now, it is true that God does lead by His Spirit through the providences of life. I've quoted it so many times now, I feel that it's a little bit like a repeated record, that example. Remember Paul making his way, wanting to go to Asia to preach the gospel, but the Spirit forbade him. That's what we read. The Spirit forbade him. Providentially, the doors were shut. Eventually, a door is opened to go into Macedonia. But God was providentially, in the circumstances of life, we could say, He was ordering, directing, guiding, leading His children, leading the child of God. But while it is true that God does lead by His providence, sometimes providence can be misread. You think of Joseph in the house of Potiphar. And that woman makes approaches to that young man. He could have said, circumstantially, God has providentially brought this about. But that was not the case. And so we must be very careful that we just do not read providence, because we can very quickly misread providence. But though He can lead by His providence, the principal way that He guides us is through the Word. The Spirit leads and guides through the Word. He is the author of it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, and through it He teaches and He guides His people. God's written revelation is replete with commands, instructions, precepts, statutes, indicating what we are to do and what we're not to do. How to behave and how not to behave. How to appear and how not to appear. What we should involve ourselves in and what we should not involve ourselves in. God's Word is to be the guide of His people. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. We read that in John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. And what is that truth? Well, the truth is His Word. John 17, 17. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And so it is the Holy Spirit's work to guide the believer to make decisions in life based on the principles and the precepts that are set forth in the Word of God. And so when you come to make any decision in life, we are to seek His leading and guiding in the Word. We need to ask ourselves questions like these. Is there some commandment in Scripture that would inhibit me from proceeding any further in this matter? Now let me give you an example. There's young people in this meeting. You're looking for a partner in life. That is only but natural. But maybe some unsaved person, you professing faith in Jesus Christ, some unsaved person comes across your pathway and there is that attraction towards that individual. If you proceed in entering into such a relationship with such a person, you are proceeding against the teaching of God's Word. The teaching of God's Word is very clear. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We also read in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 39, that a person who is saved must marry only in the Lord. In the Lord. And so there must be a bringing together of those of like precious faith. And if you proceed to pursue that relationship, then you are doing so in contravention of the Word of God. And God's blessing will not be upon your life, or upon your marriage, or upon that relationship. And so is there some commandment in Scripture that God would prohibit me from proceeding any further? Is there some instruction given by the apostles to the churches that would prohibit me from doing what I intend to do? Another example, Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Romans 13, verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. There's a very clear scripture. If we go against it, then we are being led by another spirit. Maybe there's something in my life Maybe something in your life that needs a greater degree of separation in, because of the examples that I find in God's Word with respect to individuals, some particular area that they feel in because of a lack of separation. I must separate, lest I make the same folly and I make the same wrong choice. Maybe there's some deficiency in your Christian life that you're alerted to as you read the life of Christ or those godly examples that we have in God's Word. There's no deficiency in Christ, I'm not saying that, but I'm speaking about our lives being deficient as we compare ourselves with Christ. Is He not our example? Since the Holy Spirit guides us and teaches us through His Word, then the onus, folks, and the responsibility is for you and I to know the Word. To know the Word. We need to know it sufficiently enough that He can lead us and guide us thereby. His direction will come through the Word, whether by some principle, whether by some precept, but either way, His leading, His guiding, His teaching will always be in harmony with the Scriptures. They will always agree. Consider a fourth thing with me quickly. The qualities that make the Holy Spirit a suitable teacher and guide. There is no teacher like Him. Where human guides and teachers have the potential of supplying incorrect information in their teaching and by their guidance, yet there is no possibility of such happening with this teacher and this guide, because He's God. This is God leading us. This is God guiding us. What are the inherent qualities then that make Him a suitable teacher and guide for His people? Can I say first of all that He is omniscient? Omniscient. He knows everything. The extent of God the Holy Spirit's knowledge on every matter is infinite. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10 informs us that the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The word searcheth means to search accurately, diligently, so as to fully understand. Such profound research leads to a thorough knowledge of all things, the part of the Holy Spirit reaching even to the deep things of God. And so no matter what you bring to Him, child of God, no matter what you bring to Him with regard to seeking His guidance and His leading in your life, He'll never be at a loss to furnish you with the answer. He'll not be at a loss to give you correct direction and proper counsel. One Christian writer put it, with all its intricacies and dangers He is acquainted, with the sunken rock and the treacherous quicksand and the concealed pit and the subtle snare, He is familiar. He knows too the individual and the ordained path for each celestial traveler. He knows the way. He knows the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Being the omniscient teacher of His people, God the Holy Spirit knows what we need to hear in order to advance in our Christian lives. Yes, He is omniscient. Secondly, He is sympathetic. This teacher is known as the Comforter. He's sympathetic. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth His children, or pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, and He remembereth that we are dust. He's sympathetic. He knows our ignorance. He knows the proneness of departure. He knows that we're prone to go astray. But He's sympathetic. And whenever we do stray, He comes to show us the right way again, to bring us back into the way. Because He is a sympathizing person. He is a sympathizing guide and teacher. In the third place, He is patient. Every teacher needs to be patient. All teachers require great patience in teaching their pupils. And God the Holy Spirit is patient with us. How many times has He not had to teach you the lesson again and again? How many times has He not had to come and to show you the way, having shown you the way before? But He's patient. He's in it for the life, your lifetime, to teach and to guide you in the way that you should go. But one final truth very quickly, if we get through it, the areas in which we experience His guiding and teaching. Three areas. He leads us first to Christ. He leads us first to Christ. John 15, verse 26. Turn there. John 15. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. He shall testify of me. What better one could we be led to but Him? The Lord Jesus Christ, to be led by to Him. Well, the Holy Spirit is our Comforter. It is Christ who is our comfort. Christ is our comfort. Maybe today finds you here guilt-ridden. If so, may the Spirit of God lead you to the blood of Christ. Maybe today finds you here weary. If so, let the Spirit of God lead you to the rest that is found in Christ. Maybe today finds you sorrowing. Let the Spirit of God lead you to the sympathizing Christ. Maybe today finds you tried and tested. Well, then let the Spirit of God lead you to the protection that is in Christ. Maybe today finds you in this house sad and lonely. Let the Spirit of God lead you to the tender love and friendship of Christ. Maybe today finds you poor and empty and helpless. If so, let the Spirit of God lead you to the fullness of Christ. As one of old put it, it is to Jesus, to His person, to His offices, to His work in life and death, the divine guide ever leads us. You see, He leads us away from ourselves, and He leads us on to Christ. Secondly, He leads us into truth. Howbeit, when He, verse 16, or verse 13 of chapter 16, when He has come, He will guide you into all truth. God never leads His children into error. We find ourselves thinking, believing, or doing that which is contrary to the truth, and it is found, as it is found in God's Word, we can be sure that it has not been the Spirit of God that has guided us in these matters. No, the Spirit of God leads us into the truth, to nothing but the truth. Are you walking in the truth today? It ought to be the desire of every child of God that you would come to comprehend more and more of the truth, and then that you would conform your life to the truth. For it's no good in just knowing the truth. We need to live it out. And so we're led away from error and we're led on to truth. Finally, He leads us on to holiness. Romans 1 verse 4, He's described as the Spirit of holiness. God the Holy Spirit. What is His objective? His objective is to advance holiness in the lives of His children. Thus He leads us to nothing but what is sanctifying. And therefore, we die on to sin and live on to righteousness. Now that truth sets up for what we're going to consider over the next number of Lord's days in the will of God. Because we want to consider together God the Holy Spirit, my sanctifier. He's my sanctifier.
and how we need to die on to sin and live on to righteousness. But let me ask you, as I close, do you know? Do you know what it is to be led on to holiness by the Spirit of holiness? Are you experiencing the mortification of sin? Is your heart being weaned away from the world? And are you striving to live as a pilgrim and a stranger on this earth, with loose ties to all that is in the world except the church and Christ? Holiness. He guides us into holiness. And so today, if you're found in unrighteousness, if you're living an unholy life, you can be sure that it hasn't been the Spirit of holiness that has led you there. It has either been the spirit of the world or your own sinful spirit. But the Holy Spirit will guide us in paths of righteousness, paths of holiness. Oh, for greater holiness in the lives of God's people. Oh, for greater holiness in the life of this preacher and in your life. And so he guides and he leads us away from sin and on to holiness. Thank God for his ministry. We need his ministry among us. We need his ministry among us to be guided and led by him and him alone. We sang the words, "More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me." Is that your prayer? Trust it is. And that he'll lead and guide us. And he'll lead us in the way that he would have us to go. Oh, may he guide you into the very center of his will. Wherever that is, whatever that is to do, may he guide you and lead you in your home, your family, your life. And then you'll know the blessing of God as you're led by him. May God lead us and guide us and teach us by his Spirit. Let's unite in prayer together. Let's pray. Our loving Father, our gracious God in heaven, in our Savior's precious name, we come to thee. We desire, O God, that we might be led of thy Holy Spirit. And being led by the Spirit, lead us by the Word. Help us, O God, we pray. We pray that we might know his sanctifying work in our lives. As we start to consider, O God, what this is, O help us, dear Father. We pray that the ministry of the Holy Spirit might be evident in this congregation of people. Win us from the world, we pray. Give us, dear God, a desire to walk in the paths that God has set forth, regardless if that is looked upon by the ungodly world as something that is odd and something that is strange. Help us, dear Father, just to obey thee. Guide us, we pray. Bring us to the Word. And may, O God, our lives reflect what we find therein. So let us be students of the book. Let us not just leave it for the preacher to preach. But may day by day we find ourselves investing time in the Word of God, and thereby, dear God, finding, as the psalmist said, reward as one that findeth great spoil. Oh, may it be to the rejoicing of our hearts, we pray. Answer prayer and be with us even now, throughout this day, for I offer prayer in through Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.